What a precious presence of God in the house already today. And we love everything that God is doing. And thanks to all of our visitors for taking a Sunday morning to spend some time here. God has something wonderful for you in this house today. He really does. We are very excited to have Brother Nathaniel Urshan and his family in service today. We love and appreciate these folks. Wonderful ministry, and just thrilled that he's here with us this morning. Great ministry in the Apostolic Church. And I want him to just come and take his liberty this morning. I want to get out of the way and give him all the time that he needs. I want him to just take his time. Somebody say, preach to me, preacher. Praise God. Stretch forth your hand and pray for him as he comes this morning.
Let's continue to lift our hands to heaven and give God thanks today. We love you, Jesus. Oh, let's just love him together right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Isn't God good this morning? Amen. There's no place I'd rather be than the house of the Lord. And the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me. Now, a lot of people in reality are sad when they say unto you. When your wife grabs you by the ear and says you're going to church. Or they're mad when you say, let us go. But not me. And I don't think this church is. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Come on, let's go. Let's get out of where we're at. Let's get out of the chaos. Let's get out of the dysfunction. Let's get out of this nasty old world. And let's go up a little higher in the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's an honor and a privilege to be with you here this morning in Birmingham and to be with Pastor Sutton and his precious family and this wonderful church family. A Sunday morning and the Holy Ghost is just moving up and down these aisles. I believe there's people going to get the Holy Ghost this morning. Hallelujah. God honors expectation. Amen. Peter and John came to the gate beautiful and they saw the lame man and they said, look on us. And he did. And the Bible says he expected to receive something. Now what he expected was probably a little money in his cup. But the bottom line was his goal was wrong, but his spirit was right. I'm expecting something. Amen. I don't know what you came for today, but we don't, apostolics, we don't just want to give somebody another meal or just give somebody something to get them through tomorrow. We want them to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can expect one thing and God can give you a whole nother thing that blows your mind. Hallelujah. And it's great to have my wife, Sister Jackie Urshan, and my two boys, Joseph and Benjamin. So glad they can be with me. Amen. And we are here in front of the Ignite Conference. That's always a blessing to us, and we're so happy to partner with this church in doing that. I'm looking forward to this next week. There's going to be great things happen in the Holy Ghost. But before all that happens, here in this local church, it's an honor to be with you, and I'm just excited about what God's going to do. Praise God. Praise God. If you've got a Bible, I'll go ahead and ask you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture. Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. If you have it, say amen. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Everybody say the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 2 Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and a lot of good things happened. 120 people wound up going to an upper room, and they began to pray and seek the face of God. Peter was there. James was there. John was there. Bartholomew was there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. That's a big deal. They were all there, and they're praying, they're seeking God. And chapter 2, verse 1 is where we pick up on what happened. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now come on down to verse 38. Peter preaches the message that every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world needs to hear. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, not just a couple, not just a few that get around to it, but every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Preaching in Honduras, they say, Pedro les dijo, arrepentíos y batízense cada una de vosotros en el nombre de Jesucristo para perdón de los pecados y recibir el don del Espíritu Santo. Everybody needs to hear it. Amen. In verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Today I want to take a couple minutes and I want to preach to you for just a little while on the subject, the promise. Look at the person next to you and say, God's got a promise for me and for you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. How many like what you feel this morning? How many feel something this morning? Don't always know what it is. Don't always know what's going on, but you just feel something in the Holy Ghost. I want to take a little time and talk about promises, because God has given us what the Scripture calls exceeding great and precious promises. We are probably living in one of the most cynical ages here in the United States. When I go to Honduras and I preach, people are not nearly as skeptical as they are here in the United States. When you tell somebody in Honduras, you say, He can forgive your sins, and you can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and he'll wash away all of your sins, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And guess what? You'll speak with other tongues when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. They can receive that. As a matter of fact, just a week or two ago, there was a preacher there. He was a Trinitarian preacher, and we sat down with him and taught him a Bible study. And right there in the room we were in, his eyes opened up wide when he heard the gospel, and he looked over. It was an Acts chapter 8 experience. He said, there's a baptismal tank right now. What's stopping me from being baptized in Jesus' name right now? We baptized him in Jesus' name, and we baptized half his congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. The promise is unto you. It's unto you. It's unto you. But in the United States, there's a feeling of skepticism. We have lost our naivete. We have lost our innocence in many ways, because there's been a lot of promises given, and they weren't fulfilled. I can remember the day when I received in the mail a letter that said I had won $1 million. That's it. It's done. It's over. It's yours. All you have to do is mail this back, and it's yours. It's done. Cash the check, bada bing. $1 million. And I did. I mailed it back, and somehow in the transfer, things got twisted. All I got was a bunch of magazine subscriptions. That $1 million never came through. And Ed McMahon lied to me. Or slick marketing, or maybe there's no difference. I don't know. But how many times can you be told you won $1 million and you don't really win it and you get a little jaded? How many times, as little time passes, you will find that there's a difference between sales and service. The salesman will tell you that his product cures cancer. And you'll never have a problem with it. And it will be a fountain of youth. Your cell phone will never break down. The car you're buying is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Just buy it, and there it is, and you're looking at it, and the anticipation is on you. And promises, 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 promises. And then 8 months later, you come back to honor the warranty, and you find out that not many of those promises are quite what you thought they were. You can stay on the phone for 4 hours with tech support, and you want to know, where is that helpful salesman that sold me this piece of junk to begin with? Told me there would be no problems. There's a lot of promises made, and there's not always a lot of follow-through on it. The devil makes promises. He makes promises. There's people in this room, the devil made you promises. And I'm not talking about a guy with a pitchfork and horns sitting at the end of your bed talking to you at night. But I am talking about that feeling inside of you that says everything's going to be all right. This is great. This is awesome. The first time you picked up a bottle and took a drink and you fit in, and the devil told you you were cool and you fit in, and you're like cousin so-and-so, and you're like uncle so-and-so, and you're like the other kids at the party, and he told you that, and then 20 years passes and you find out it's a lot easier to pick up than it is to put down, and it gets a hold of you, and you find out that it's not cool and it's not great, and now there's rehabs and halfway houses and there's DUIs and there's all kind of stuff that comes along with it that nobody told you about. Amen. There's a lot of promises, and the devil is not just a liar. He's the father of lies. He'll have you tied up. He'll have you wrapped up. He'll have everything destroyed because the devil is a liar. Amen. The good news is that those lies may destroy, but he's still a liar today, and he can bring you into this place, and he can tell you that you're not going to make it, and he can tell you that you're not going to survive, and he can tell you that it's not going to work. The good news is he's still a liar. Amen. And he might have lied to you back then. He's still lying to you today. You can have the Holy Ghost. You can make it. You can overcome. You can put the bottle down. You can put the drugs down. You can get rid of that broken relationship. You can turn around and go back. It's not too late. You are not going to die. Not if God is for you. Amen. Hallelujah. There is one who makes promises and he does not break them. Hallelujah. The Bible's full of promises, and we claim those promises. We claim those promises. They are why we are here right now. We are a promised people. Amen. Israel, when they left Egypt, the Bible says that they journeyed towards a promised land. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's a place we're headed to, and we're looking forward to, and it's promised by God. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that everything's going to work the way you want it to work. There will be giants along the way. There will be enemies along the way. There will be hunger and thirst along the way. Amen. But there's promises that we hang on to. I got news for somebody this morning here in Birmingham. You might feel like it's the end. You might feel like you can't do it, like it's not going to work. You may feel that you are going to wind up like family and like cousins and relatives, but I'm here to tell you that feelings lie to you. Just because you feel a certain way does not mean it's that way. Your feelings are not the final arbiter as to what happens in your life. The Bible says if your heart condemn you, God is greater than your heart. And somebody has to look at your feelings and say, you need to be quiet for a little while. You need to look at condemnation and say, you don't control me anymore. I'm grabbing a hold of some scriptures that have nothing to do with my feelings. I feel terrible, but the word says, oh, when you're buffeted, when you're thrown, when you're drowning, grab a hold of some scriptures that never move and say, I might feel like I'm going down, but God's word is forever settled in heaven, and I'm hanging on to his promises. I'm hanging on to his scriptures. God doesn't have truth. He doesn't possess truth. God is truth. Amen. To the point to where the Bible says that it is impossible for God to lie. Whew. It's one of the reasons this whole redemption business is part of our life. It's because God cannot lie. When God put a penalty for sin, when God put the knowledge of good and evil into this world, he knew the consequences. He knew the way that things would go. But when God says it, that's what it is. People say, well, why doesn't God just snap his fingers and get rid of the devil and just say, all right, my bad, do over, and just hit the restart button and spare us all this chaos we're going through? Well, the Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. God doesn't hit the reset button. When he sets it in motion, it is set in motion. And to hit the reset button and to violate his word would be to go against not only who he is, but what he is. He is the truth. Truth is not a thing. Truth is a person. Woo, hallelujah. Yay, kadoboshaya. This is not a superstitious thing. This thing is built on truth. Amen. When the Bible calls him the Word of God, the truth is the Word. That Greek word is logos. And it's the same word that we get logic from. It's the same word that we get all of our ology words from. Bio means life. Ology is study of, knowledge of, word of. So biology is truth about life. Amen. And there can be atheists that look through a microscope and study biology and think that there's no God. When they look through that microscope and they see the biology in motion, they're actually looking at the logos in motion. They're looking at the fingerprints of Jesus Christ underneath that microscope on that slide. And they might say there's no God, but they're looking at him in action right there. He doesn't have truth. He is truth. He is before all things. And by him, all things consist. Amen. When it says by him all things consist, it means nothing could happen without him. Amen. He looked at them and said, without me, you could do nothing. Somebody said it one time. They said, I don't think I could make it without Jesus. And it's true. Without me, you could do nothing. That's right. It is true. But it doesn't just mean it in an emotional sense. Well, somehow he's an emotional crutch. I just couldn't make it without him. Honey, it's a lot deeper than that. When he said, without me, you can do nothing, that means the atoms in the chair that you're sitting on are held together by the word of God, by Jesus. The air you're breathing is held together by Jesus. The oxygen molecules are held together by Jesus Christ. Amen. Your heart is beating by Jesus Christ. The Bible says in him we live and we move and we have our being. When he says you could do nothing, it doesn't just mean you emotionally need him. It means you. There would be no planet. There would be no water. There would be no sun. There would be no family. There would be no children. This building wouldn't be here. There's nothing without Jesus. He doesn't just have truth. He is truth. He is truth. Praise God. And when God gives a promise, ooh, hallelujah. Watch out. When God gives a promise, when God says it, man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. God looked at the sun and he said, let there be by the power of his word. And he pinned it into the black velvet of the night. And he said, stay there and don't you move. I remember my father used to say that to me as a boy. And as soon as dad turned away, we would start. Because it was the word of a man and he wasn't everywhere at the same time. And we'd just start kind of creeping off to the side and we try to do our thing. But when God told the sun, stay there, it stayed there. He did it at the beginning of creation. He put it in place. By the power of his word, he put it in place. And that thing shines and shines. He told the stars, he said, stay there. The Bible says he knows them by name. Stay there. And he put them in place and he told them to twinkle, twinkle. Little stars. Amen. Or something like that. And there they are. And we are the recipient of that bedrock authority. There are many sailors who have had many nights out on the ocean that didn't know which way they were going. And they looked up and they can chart their course and they can come back home to their house and to their table and to their wife and their kids because the stars stayed where God told them to stay by the power of his word. In the morning when you wake up, that sun shines. It goes down in the evening time as the earth rotates and it is there. We set our clocks by the faithfulness of God. Amen. I want you to notice it's not contingent on what you do or what you don't do. I find at the height of arrogance that people curse God with the very air that God gave them to breathe in the first place with. Amen. There are people that curse him, don't believe in him, mock him, live their own lives, but he just keeps on letting that sun rise and set and rise and set because his promises are not contingent upon what I do and what I don't do. They are contingent upon the fact that he is the word of God, that he is the truth of the word of God. And whether you serve him or whether you don't serve him, the prophet said, oh Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies begin new every morning. God is going to do what he does. Now, you're not like that. And I'm not like that. Somebody makes me mad. It's a good thing I'm not God. The moment they started talking trash about me, bad things would have started happening. I would have turned the spigot off over their house. You would know who all my enemies were. They'd have brown grass. No rain for you. You said, what? Oh, okay. We'll just shut that thing off because I'm God and I can do that. On the cross, I would have made a bad Messiah. I can't handle when people start talking trash about me. Come on for that cross. Uh-huh. Come on down off of there. We'll believe you. And brother, I would have yanked off of them nails. Come down, lightning bolts in my fingertips. Let's get this party started. Y'all don't want none of this. Then I would have been a bad Messiah. But in his word, he said that with his stripes,
we are healed, that he would be wounded for our transgressions and he would be bruised for our iniquity. 1,000 years before it happened, the word of God said it would be like this, and Jesus didn't stay there because the nails held him there. He stayed there because his word held him there. And he's... It's about the truth. It's about my promise. If I come off of this cross, there's some people in Birmingham in 2015 that won't have the blood, that won't be able to be healed, that won't be able to be set free. So I got to stay here and I got to bleed and I got to die, because there's some drug addicts that are going to need the Holy Ghost. And there's some... And I'm not here because you put me here. I'm here because the word of God is forever settled in heaven. My promise is to you. Amen. We are promise. Listen, make it your mission to be promise driven. Amen. Be word driven. Because miracles happen to people who are word driven. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and that against hope, he believed in hope and staggered not at the promises of God, but was strong in faith, considering not his own body. When you're promise driven, when you are word driven, miracles will break out on the right hand and on the left, because God's word is true. God's going to do it. He just needs somebody who will believe his word and let it happen inside of them. I think there's some people going to get the Holy Ghost here this morning. Ah, glory to God. You can be seated. Promise driven. I used to think that David was super brave when he went out to face the threat. I used to think that David looked at that lion and said, Okay, come on, you can do it. But as I got a little older and I learned about the promises of God, I think that David was promise driven. I think the same thing about Abraham. I think Abraham was promise. The Bible actually says that Abraham was promise driven. Oh, hallelujah. Abraham went to the top of Mount Moriah and he took his boy, his only begotten son of Sarah, child of promise, and he took that boy. He took wood for the offering. He took fire to make the sacrifice, and they headed up the mountain, and there's all kinds of powerful things going on right there on top of that mountain. There's little suggestions God slips in there, and they're saying things they don't even realize what it is they're saying. But looking back, we now know through the spirit of prophecy what they were saying. Isaac looked at his dad and said, "Dad, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham, I don't know if he knew it, I don't know, I suspect it was the spirit of prophecy that was on him, but he said, "The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice." Amen. The spirit of truth is such that it doesn't just talk to them that day, but it talks to us thousands of years later. God's not just talking to one audience. He's not just talking to Isaac. He's talking to a church full of people in Birmingham, and the words still resonate to us today. Oh, hallelujah. He could have said the Lord will himself provide a sacrifice, but he didn't say that. He said the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice, a prophecy that one day God himself would come in flesh and would give himself and would provide himself, and he would take our place and be our substitute. And just like that blood atoned for them, Jesus' blood would atone for us. And the spirit of truth was at work that day on Mount Moriah. And they head up to the mountain. And they get up there. You know the story. They, Isaac is bound. He's on the altar. The knife comes up. Abraham's ready. The angel stops his arm on the way down, provides a ram in the thicket. And I thought, man, Abraham was really, man, what kind of pressure? And he was under pressure. But the Bible said Abraham believed God. What's that mean? He believed God. It's more than just a vague belief. It's a profound statement. And what it means is that Abraham referenced back to the beginning when God first called him and said, "You will have a son. And you'll call his name Isaac. And he'll be the father of many nations." He said, "Look down at the sand and try to count it. That's what your seed will be like. And look up at the heavens and count the stars and try to count it. That's what the heaven's going to be like." Man, I wish I had time to talk about that. That's a message in and of itself. Amen. But my promise is that you're going to have a boy and he's going to have children all throughout this world. And Abraham looked at Isaac there that day, and they think that Abraham was confident or he somehow worked up the courage. But the Bible doesn't say that. In Hebrews chapter 11, it said that Abraham had faith in God. And he looked at Isaac and he knew something. He knew something that every person in this room needs to know this morning. God cannot lie. I'm here to tell you, God cannot lie. He looked down at Isaac and he knew something. He knew that Isaac doesn't have any kids yet. That don't sound like a big deal to some people, but I'm telling you, it's a big deal. He don't have any kids yet. What's that mean? That means he's going to be the father of many nations. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know how it's going to happen. But one way or another, this boy is coming off of this mountain with me today. He don't have him yet, but he's going to. He can't die up here. So either he's going to die and God's going to raise him from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure, or God's going to stop this thing before it happens. But one way or another, the promises of God, the promises of God, the promises of God, they are yea and they are amen in Christ Jesus. You've got to be promise driven. You've got to be word driven. God said it and he cannot lie. It's not about feelings, because if it was, he never would have done it. Every fatherly paternal instinct inside of him would have stopped him. But he was word driven, promise driven. David was the same thing. When David walked up there to face the lion, David did the same thing Abraham did. He leaned back to a memory of Samuel coming to his house and opening up a horn of oil on his head and anointing him the next king of Israel. However many months or years later it was, there was a lion in the underbrush growling, ready to kill the lamb. And David looked at that lion. God put me here. I'm God's man doing God's work. And God said, "I'm going to be the king." He looked around and said, "I don't see a throne right now. I don't have a crown right now. I don't have a robe right now. I don't have a royal court right now, but God promised me I was going to be king." Translation to David, I'm not going to die today. See, when you have a promise from God, you walk in that promise. You walk in that anointing. I don't know how it's going to happen, but today is not my day. And when you know that, you don't run from the lion. You run towards the lion. Come on, big boy. Show me what you've got. I've got the help of Almighty God. I've got a promise from Almighty God. And I might die, but it's not going to be today. The same thing happened when the bear showed up. And when the lion and bear had happened, Goliath wasn't nothing after that. Everybody else is crying and hiding behind the rocks and hiding behind the trees. David said, see, when you've got a promise and you're word driven, you don't hide behind rocks. You look for the giant. I wish a giant would show up. I wish I could find somebody to take down in the name of Almighty God. You're not coming against me. You're coming against Jehovah. You're coming against the armies of the living God. I've got an anointing. I've got a promise. And I might die, but it won't be today. I might die, but it's not going to be right now. And giants fall before people driven by promise. The promise is unto you. I don't want to preach a lot longer, but I want to get this last bit out here. The Bible says we are promised the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the most radical, life-changing. Why do you think the devil fights so hard against the Holy Ghost? He does not want you receiving the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what happens when you get the Holy Ghost. Isaiah said that when it happens, it'll happen with stammering lips and another tongue. And then he said it would be the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. Now, whenever God gives you a promise, the devil will send you a substitute to trick you into thinking that that's the promise. God promised a son through Sarah, so the devil sends along Hagar. There'll be a substitute. There'll be a counterfeit. There'll be a fleshly driven counterfeit to get you off. There's a lot of substitutes for the Holy Ghost, and they masquerade as the rest. They masquerade as the refreshing, and they are the devil's promises. Every person that's bound by nicotine, when they pull it to their lips and they suck on the weed and it fills their lungs, there's that calming effect. Nerves calm down, the jitters stop, and the devil says, there you go. That's the rest. The problem with it is, a couple hours later, your fingers start trembling again, and the craving starts building back up again, and you get fidgety, and you're looking around, and you're, because the devil's a liar, and that is not the rest. When God said this is the rest, he meant this stammering lips and another tongue stuff. He meant this Holy Ghost stuff. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. The devil sent you a Hagar called nicotine and promised you that it would satisfy you, but it doesn't satisfy anything. It just hooks you. It just pulls you in deeper. It just gets a grip on you, and now you're enslaved to it. The devil will tell you that it's alcohol. And when you drink it, it'll calm you down. I know a lot of police officers that sit in bars late at night because of the atrocities that they see and the trash they got to put up with and the violence that they have to deal with. One philosopher from long ways back said, be careful when you look into the abyss, because the abyss has a way of looking back into you. And if you are going out to try to handle the trash of this world and crime and sin, then you better have something more than just a gun on your hip. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the rest. And it's not in that bottle, and it's not in that shot glass, and it's not in that can. The rest is the Holy Ghost. The rest is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The rest is the only thing that can satisfy you. On the seventh day, God rested. Why did he rest? God doesn't get tired like you get tired. The Bible says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is a spirit. We rest because we have muscles, we have tendons. Anybody that's ever worked a 12-hour shift, when you lay them aching bones down on that bed at night, the older I get, the cooler naps become. God rested on the seventh day. Seventh day, God. Why did he rest? He doesn't need rest. He doesn't need sleep. He doesn't have muscles that grow weary. He doesn't have a physical body. He's a spirit. He's omnipotent. It means he has all power. It's limitless power. So why did God rest? God rested on the seventh day, the Bible says, as an example. And so then he built that example into his people. He said, on the seventh day, you will rest. And it put it on Saturday. A lot of people think the Sabbath day is Sunday. It's not. It's Saturday. And then he said, Saturday, you will do no work. Because if you work all the time, you'll drive yourself nuts. You need a day of rest. And so physically on that seventh day, they would rest. And they were to take a very limited amount of steps. They were not supposed to prepare food of a strenuous nature, they were to rest. And there's a lot of people that think that that's what it's all about today, and Saturday's a big deal, and I'm just glad if you read it really closely, you find out it's not about the day, it's about the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. And the truth of the matter is that too was an example. God built that rest into their bodies in the Old Testament to foreshadow another rest that would come. Paul taught it in the book of Hebrews. It's another message for another day. Let me just say it like this. Physical rest never spiritually benefited anybody. Amen. If you're a liar and you lay down on the Sabbath day, it does not make you honest. You're a liar when you wake up. A well-rested liar. If you are a fornicator when you lay down before the Sabbath day, it does not take away the sensual impropriety. It doesn't do that. You wake up ready to tear up a bunch of other people's lives. Because physical rest doesn't happen, doesn't produce a spiritual benefit. It was a foreshadowing. It was a teaching. Amen. If you can understand rest, then you can understand the Holy Ghost. There is a weariness that I'm preaching about here right now. People are weary, not just in their bodies. They're weary in their spirits. There are people that they lay down to sleep at night and they wake up exhausted because you still have chaos going on. You still have hell breaking loose in your life. You still have problems nipping at your heels. And God have mercy. The answer isn't just a vacation. The answer is the Holy Ghost. The answer is not another puff, another snort, another shoot 'em up. It's not any of that. The answer is the Holy Ghost. The answer is not another boyfriend or another girlfriend or a little side chick or a little side boy, but it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. It's the Holy Ghost. God will turn you inside out. He'll turn you upside down. People are leaving denominations because they have forgotten about the Holy Ghost. Brother, I would not go to church if there was no Holy Ghost. The whole point is the Holy Ghost. That's like going to a game without a football. Going to a game without a basketball, going to a concert with no singer. The whole point is the Holy Ghost. And God said it would be stammering lips and another tongue. Well, that sounds a little crazy, Brother Urshan. It's great. People might think I'm crazy. We already know you're crazy. Hallelujah. Come on in. The Holy Ghost is good. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I see so many people, they're like, oh no, I can't do that in church. People might think I'm crazy. We already think you're crazy. You know, on New Year's Eve, people jump up on top of the table, executives in suits and ties. They're drunk out of their minds, and they dance the Watusi on the table on New Year's Eve when the ball drops and the trumpet sounds and the celebration goes on. And they act the fool in front of everybody, and they'll do it on New Year's Eve, but they won't do it for God. It's a counterfeit. You need to get the real promise. Well, it's a new year. It's a new year. We have a new start. That doesn't change anything. January 3rd, they've broken all of their New Year's resolutions. That's not a new start. The Holy Ghost is a new start. When God puts His Spirit down inside of you and He takes that old heart and gives you a new heart and He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. Amen. I'm trying to wrap up. Y'all can be seated. Let me get this last little bit out. God said it would be stammering lips and another tongue. And that sounds, it sounds crazy to folks. It's so over the top. I'm going to tell you, in 2015, our world is going nuts. And we need an over the top salvation. We don't need another ceremony. We don't need, you know, and one of the reasons why we're so skeptical is because we've seen so many people fail. Politicians have told us that they would do it, and as soon as they get in office, they go back on everything they said they were going to do. And we, how many televangelists have to fall before people lose their faith in God? How many more people got to get caught in scandals? How many more people have to mess things up? And you realize that men lie. I'm here to preach to somebody. The problem isn't God. The problem is humanity. Don't let it corrupt your faith in God. God has a promise. God has a promise. God has a promise. Amen. And he said, with stammering lips and another tongue, I'll speak to this people. It'll be the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. It will be the refreshing. And now listen to this. God not only promised the Holy Ghost, God promised our skepticism to the Holy Ghost. God didn't just tell you the Holy Ghost was going to come. God said it's going to be so radical, you ain't even going to believe it. Because the Bible says it would happen like that. And then at the very end, he tacks on one little phrase. He says, yet they would not hear. But the word of God would be line upon line, precept upon precept, hear a little, that they might go, fall backwards, be broken, snared, and taken. That means that if you aren't disciplined enough to read about it, you ain't going to get it. You have to believe God's promises. You have to search the scriptures for God's promises. God's promises have always been fantastic. And it's always required an Abraham to step up and say, it might sound out there, but I believe in God. It might sound like it's out in left field, but I believe in God. So God tells a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, you're going to have a baby. Come on now. Lord, you're up there, and I'm down here, and I'm in this body. It just not working like that anymore, God. And biology, basic biology, eighth grade biology. God's promises are so amazing that you have to grab them in faith. The Bible says Abraham fell on his face laughing. And then it says he told him again, and Sarah laughed. There'll be a voice in your head that laughs when God's promise comes out. When I tell you, you'll get the Holy Ghost and you'll speak with other tongues and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, there'll be a side of you that says, right, I'm not one of those. Come on, man. You get drunk, you get high, you get... All of those highs are nothing compared to the high in the Holy Ghost. I told one young man, he was addicted to marijuana. He said, I like to get high. I said, let me introduce you to the Most High. My God will pick you up and never drop you. He'll pick you up. He'll establish you. He'll pull you out. Hey, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a promise. And it's to you and you and you and you. So you go ahead and keep on laughing at me. That same spirit affects us. We see somebody grab a hold of the promise. When somebody gets the promise, they'll start acting. It makes you want to laugh. See somebody take off running around the church. They're not running because they're crazy. They're running because they got a promise. You'll see somebody, there's a guy here that does cartwheels and handstands. Hallelujah. You did it for the devil. You better do it for Jesus. And the Bible says Sarah laughed. But the Bible says that she laughed in her heart. God was there in the tent talking to Abraham. In a theophany, that's a big fancy word that means he took on a body for a few moments. And he comes down and he's talking to Abraham, telling him this, this, this. And Sarah hears about that child stuff. She's 90. She laughs in her heart. There's a lot of people that say they're not laughing when they really are laughing. And to see, the thing about it is, this isn't the pastor. This isn't the evangelist. This isn't the person in the church. This is God. And he swiveled his head and said, "Wherefore didst thou laugh?" I didn't laugh. Now that might work for other people, but God said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." And I believe with all my heart, God has a sense of humor. God said, "You will call your son's name Isaac." Isaac is the Hebrew word for laughter. Get it? God said, "Oh, you got jokes. You're laughing at me. Oh, we're going to see who laughs. Oh, you're going to laugh." Why does that matter? He names them Isaac. God was saying, "Laugh, laugh, laugh. But when my promises come true, every day when you wake up, you're going to see laughter go running by. Every day when you wake up, you're going to see laughter grow up. Every day that you grow up, you're going to see laughter increase. That laughter, you got it's on the inside, but I'm going to put it on the outside. Just laugh at me all you want to, honey, but watch me get blessed. Watch my life. Watch my marriage. Watch my children. Watch my increase. Watch my favor, because I got a promise. I got a promise. I got a promise. Keep on laughing. I got the promises of God. Keep on mocking me. I've got the promises of God. Hey! Remain standing. Musicians, come on. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Every single promise that God gave, it involves the supernatural. It involves somebody taking a step of faith and saying, "I feel a little weird, but I'm not going to stagger at His promises." You're going to have a baby when you're 100. If you think that one's tough, God did it again. Except this time He walked up to a virgin. You think that was cool with Sarah? Watch what I do now. It's not possible. It can't happen. With men, things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. My promises, my promises, my promises, my promises are true. And Mary looked at him, said, "I know basic biology. I know how humanity works. But be it unto me. According to what my pastor told me, according to what my Sunday school teacher told me, according to what society tells me, according to what religion and denomination tells me." No, no. "Be it unto me according to thy word." Word-based people, truth-based people, promise-based people. It's in your Bible. The Holy Ghost is for you. And that holy thing that's inside of you is conceived of the Holy Ghost. I think there's somebody going to get the Holy Ghost this morning. Now we're getting ready to have a Holy Ghost time. Amen. There's a lot of people say the Holy Ghost isn't for me. It kind of scares me, the talking in tongues. I don't know. You'll drink a 40 of Jim Beam, but you won't come up and pray and get the Holy Ghost. You'll spike a joint with a little cocaine, but you won't come and get the Holy Ghost. Come on now. This is the one rest you're supposed to get. You were designed for this. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Now, let me tell you something crazy. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that room that day. Now, if anybody should get a get-out-of-jail-free card, it should be Mary. Come on. She's the one woman among all women that God chose. She's the one that gave birth to Jesus. Come on, surely, can't you pull some strings up there? I brought you into this world. Surely you can take me out of this world. If anybody gets a free pass, it's gonna be Mary. But yet we see Mary on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, hands raised in the air. The Holy Ghost filled all the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each. This one. That one and that one. Ever Mary got the Holy Ghost just like we get the Holy Ghost. She gave birth to Jesus, and in the Holy Ghost, Jesus turned around and gave birth to her. I think there's some people here this morning that need this promise. If you have never received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to step out. Come on down here. If you want the Holy Ghost this morning, I'm going to open this altar. Come on. If you're here and you've never received the Holy Ghost, step out from where you are. God has a promise for you. I want you to come on down to the front and join me. Anybody here that wants the Holy Ghost? That's it. Come on. We don't bite. The promise is for you. Anybody. Anybody here that wants the Holy Ghost? It's for you. It's for your children. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. It will baptize you. And the Bible says that you will speak with other tongues. Is there anybody here that wants the Holy Ghost? Come on down. Come right up here. Just come right up here. Halalaboko shatayandaha. Here's one. Anybody else? Anybody else? Here we go. Come on down, honey. Anybody else? Anybody else want the Holy Ghost this morning? We've got one. We've got two. We've got some more. That's it. Anybody else want the Holy Ghost? I can feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. Hallelujah. I feel the miraculous moving in this place right now. Come on. Come on down. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Come on down. Come on. Stand right up here in the front. Stand right up here along the front if you want the Holy Ghost. That's it. Come on, honey. Come on. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Beautiful people here to receive the Holy Ghost. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to pray together, and God is going to pour out the Holy Ghost onto you. Hallelujah. What we're going to do is we are going to repent of all of our sins. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to repent of our sins. That means we tell God we are sorry. We repent. I'm turning away. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to talk like that. I don't want to be like that. I want to serve you, Jesus. Right now, all over this building, I want you to lift your hands, and I want you to call on the name of Jesus. Let's all repent together right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I turn away from everything that's not like you. I want to lay down everything that's not like you, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus, of my sins. That's it. That's it. Lift your hands. Open your mouth and talk to him. I worship you, Jesus. Lord, you know me. You know what I'm wrestling with. I am sorry. You know what I did. You know what I've been involved with. Now forgive me, Jesus. I pray that you have mercy on me, Jesus. I'm sorry for my sins, Jesus. Wash me in your blood. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I'm laying it down. I'm laying it down. I don't want to pick it up anymore. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. Help me, Jesus. That's it. Just take a moment. Just take a moment and lift up your voice all over this place. Clear the air. Clear the air between you and heaven. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. That's it. Lift up your voice. Just take a moment. We're not in a rush. We're not in a rush. Just take a moment. Open your mouth and ask God to wash you. Cleanse me, Jesus. Hey, cleanse me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus, in the blood of the Lamb. Oh. All right, now I want you to hear me. I need some people to help me pray. I need some saints that are here. I need you to get with the person that's praying. I want you to stand in front of them. Some of these young brothers, help me stand here in front of this young man right here. Somebody stand in front of this young man. Somebody stand in front of this precious young lady. I need a saint of God, one of these precious women. Help me right here. Just stand in front of her. We're going to help them pray. Stand right in front of this young lady right here. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Now listen, you cannot speak with other tongues if you don't speak. You got to open up your mouth, and the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord. We are going to call upon the name of the Lord. When I give the signal, we're all going to pray and call upon the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that hallelujah is the highest praise. Hallelujah is the highest praise. We are going to lift up our voice and worship and praise Him. And I want you to begin to cry out, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's hallelujah in Spanish. It's hallelujah in French. It's hallelujah in Italian. It's hallelujah in Russian. It's hallelujah in English. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to. Hallelujah means I give myself to Jehovah. Halle, I give, lu, myself, ja, to Jehovah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. We're going to begin to cry hallelujah and call on the name of the Lord. And when we do, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. When that happens, they're going to lay their hands on your head. When they do that, I want you to open your mouth up. God is going to put words in your mouth that you do not understand. Speak those words in the Holy Ghost. Hear me now. Speak those words in the Holy Ghost when they come into your mouth. Are you ready? Birmingham, are you ready? Now, I want you to lift up your voice right now in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands, lift your voice. Begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Open your mouth and call upon the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost is all over this young man right here. Now, speak it out. That's it. The Holy Ghost is falling on people right now. Speak it out. Speak it out right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Now speak it in faith. Speak it in faith. Let it go. Now, 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 now. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's it, honey. Speak it out. Yeah, 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 right there. That's it. Speak it. Speak it. That's it. Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. Right here. Right here. In the name of Jesus. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Right there. Right there. Right there. That's it. Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. One already got the Holy Ghost. One already got the Holy Ghost. Somebody else is receiving the Holy Ghost. Speak it out.
One morning. Oh, just about the break of day, Jesus touched me, and He watched all my sins go away. I started running, I started shouting, ain't got no time for no telling. No, there's something like the Holy Ghost. Well, it was early, one morning, it was just about the break of day.
Speak it out.
Jesus touched me, and He watched all my sins go away. I'm sorry.
promise. It's my promise.
Holy Ghost. Well, it's the Holy Ghost. Yeah.
Just somebody speaking. Somebody speaking. Yes. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Sins over.